Welcome back to Al's Geography Corner. Today, we'll be taking a look at the world's largest island nation. Or is it the world's smallest continent? Or both? If Australia is the entire continent, then is New Zealand not a part of one? Whatever the case, today we'll be taking a look at Australia, the land where the emus dodge bullets, the spiders fall from the sky like rain, and the prime ministers vanish, never to be found. But before we do, let's take a look at the etymology of Australia. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm sure that you've wondered why Austria and Australia have such similar names. In truth, the naming similarities are pure coincidence. However, both nations are actually named after compass directions, but not even the same directions. Of course, for Austria, you'll have to wait for next week's installment of Al's Geography Corner. But back to Australia. Australia gets its name from the term Terra Australis, a Latin phrase that means southern land. Odd, you may be thinking, that name sounds more fitting for Antarctica. And you'd be completely right. In fact, the name was given to what is now Australia because it was believed to be just a northern portion of a supercontinent at the bottom of the planet. The whole thought of a southern supercontinent stemmed from Ptolemy's belief that the northern and southern hemispheres must be balanced, and so the Indian Ocean must eventually be closed off by a gigantic chunk of land. This was, of course, disproven by the European explorers of the 15th century, but the name Australia still stuck, first being used in the English language in 1625 in reference to the largest island of Vanuatu, and later in 1794 for the modern nation. So now, let's take a look at the flag of Australia. No, this isn't some variation of the United Kingdom's flag, or New Zealand's flag, or Fiji's flag, or Tuvalu's flag. For such a unique nation, Australia's flag just isn't. The flag, which is always on a 2x1 aspect ratio field, features a Union Jack in the upper left quarter, with a white Commonwealth star centered under the jack. A 5-starred white Southern Cross is situated on the right half of the flag, and all of this is also located on a dark blue background. The Union Jack is representative of the nation's history as a set of divided British colonies, while the 7-pointed Commonwealth Star symbolizes the 6 original colonies, plus one more point for any future territorial acquisitions. The Southern Cross, one of the most visible constellations in the Southern Hemisphere, has long been a symbol of Australia since the beginnings of British colonization. Now, all of the stars are 7-pointed in this constellation, except for the small one between the bottom and rightmost stars, which is only 5-pointed. Simple, right? Perhaps overly so? Well, the national coat of arms is anything but. Australia's coat of arms consists of two basic parts, the escutcheon and the rest of the coat of arms. The escutcheon, or shield in the center, is supported by a red kangaroo on the left and an emu on the right, both of whom are standing atop branches of the native golden wattle tree. At the bottom is a banner emblazoned with the name of the nation, and a golden Commonwealth star can be found atop the escutcheon. Now, the escutcheon is broken up into 6 segments, split into 3 columns and 2 rows. Starting from the top left and going clockwise, we have a St. George's cross with a lion and 4 stars on it, symbolizing New South Wales, a Southern cross with the crown of St. Edward located above it on a dark blue background, symbolizing Victoria, a blue Maltese cross with the same crown in front of it, on top of a white background, symbolizing Queensland, an Australian piping shrike bird on a yellow background, symbolizing South Australia, a black swan on a yellow background, symbolizing Western Australia, and a red lion mid-stride, representing Tasmania. That was a lot to take in, but thankfully, the nation's history is a bit simpler. Humans first arrived in Australia around 65,000 years ago via a land bridge from Asia across Indonesia. The people here were primarily hunter-gatherers, and were very nearly wiped out by disease, similarly to the indigenous people of Americas. The first Europeans to stumble upon Australia were the Dutch. Unfortunately for them, they landed on the western half of the nation, and if you know anything about Australian geography, Western Australia is primarily desert and outback. They're the reason that 79% of the state's population lives in Perth. The Dutch mapped out the western and northern coasts of what they called New Holland, and then promptly left for greener pastures, literally. It wasn't until the famous, or infamous, Captain James Cook found the eastern half of the modern nation that colonization could take off. He staked a claim for the British crown, and thus the British Empire increased in size dramatically. Of course, this was the year 1770, and the citizens of New England were revolting. 1783, the Treaty of Paris is signed, ending the American Revolutionary War and bringing an end to British presence in the newly formed United States of America. With this huge defeat, the British turned to their as-of-yet-unused plot of land in the South Pacific. It was originally used as a penal colony, but that was eventually scrapped in favor of full colonization, slowly trudging westward, similar to the U.S., to develop more land. In 1901, Britain relinquished some powers to Australia, establishing the colonies as a commonwealth, and the capital territory began construction. Similarly to the United States, Australia's capital was purpose-built from the start. Australia, despite its distance from much of the conflict, took part in the Western Front on Britain's side during World War I. Later, in 1942, Australia adopted the Statute of Westminster, effectively making it a sovereign nation. World War II brought Britain to its knees in the Pacific, resulting in a strong tie between Australia and the United States for defense that remains to this day. And this is the current status of the nation, a developed country in the South Pacific that would fit in fine with many nations in Europe and North America. So now, let's talk about the Australian people, the Aussies. Australia has a population of around 25.5 million people, of whom the overwhelming majority at 90.2% are white, 7.3% are Asian, and the remaining 2.5% are primarily indigenous. Around 59.8% of people are Christian, 2.5% are Buddhist, 2.2% are Muslim, 1.3% are Hindu, 0.5% are Jewish, 22.3% are irreligious, and the remaining 11.4% follow some other branch of religion. The nation's currency is the Australian dollar. The national language is English. They use the .au domain extension. They use the Type I power outlet. Their national anthem is Advance Australia Fair. And there is no longer a national motto, but it was formerly Advance Australia. Only 10.7% of the population lives in a rural lifestyle. So, now that we've talked about the people that inhabit this land, let's talk about the land itself. Australia has a total area just shy of 3 million square miles, or almost 7.7 million square kilometers, of which about 0.76% is water area. Australia can be split into two main topographical regions, the fertile land in the east and the beautiful yet desolate outback in the west. The east mainly comprises the regions around New South Wales, Queensland, the Capital Territory, Jervis Bay, Victoria, and Tasmania. That may sound like a lot, but these states and territories only comprise about a third of the nation's land. The rest is the untamed Australian outback, home to the famous koalas, kangaroos, wallabies, and of course, emus that win wars against the Australian military. Yes, I'm being serious. The outback is sun-scorched and red, full of beautiful rock formations and ancient cave paintings, not to mention flora and fauna found nowhere else on this planet. Australia is almost like a mega-sized version of Madagascar in this respect. So, now that we've talked about the land, let's talk about the borders. Now, obviously Australia doesn't share any land border with any other nation, but it does have some domestic borders. Australia has both states and territories. The states are, in order of population, New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, Western Australia, South Australia, and Tasmania. The internal territories, which have more limited powers, are also in terms of population, the Australian Capital Territory, the Northern Territory, and the Jervis Bay Territory. Finally, the external territories are Christmas Island, Norfolk Island, the Cocos Urquhart Islands, the Coral Sea Islands, the Ashmore and Cartier Islands, the Heard and MacDonald Islands, and if you listen to Australia or any of the other nations with Antarctic claims, the Australian Antarctic Territory. The capital, Canberra, is obviously located in the Capital Territory, and actually has ocean access through Jervis Bay, albeit without a land connection to said bay. The largest city in the nation is Sydney, well known for its Opera House, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now, while Australia doesn't have land borders, it definitely has maritime borders. So let's see how they get along with these other nations. Everyone loves Australia. It's just a fact. Unless you're an international organization, that is. The nation has tax haven status, and this results in a lot of international commerce. Australia is part of the UN, CETO, and ANZUS, and due to these last two, has incredibly close ties to the US and New Zealand. In fact, New Zealand would likely be Australia's closest ally. While they do playfully compete over tourists, they're as closely tied as the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. In conclusion, Australia is like the one cool kid everyone wants to be friends with, who actually turns out to be a super outgoing and willing person. Be sure to tune in next week for Austria, and until then, I'm Eyal, bringing you back to your regularly scheduled programming.